Blog Talk Radio. everyone, and welcome to Your Place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll be talking about what the Bible says about women's hair. Remember, if you're listening for the first time, just press 1 on your keypad, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Welcome to the show tonight. We're talking on a subject that has a lot of depth to it. There are very different opinions, and the show has to do with what the Bible says regarding His people and their hair. We live in a time where people still say many of the same things regarding God's Word, but the meanings are changed and under debate in our society and churches. We treat the Bible and God's will like Burger King. We want it our way or no way at all. Since we aren't the person who has established what is sin, wouldn't you agree that it's not smart to take a chance? Some people say that it really doesn't matter what a person does with their hair, because it's not by works that we're saved. Wild Bill thinks that we live in a time where the lines between men and women are so compromised that many people are confused. No doubt that God has put things in place because He knows what we need. Wouldn't you agree that it's stupidity to think that we know more than God and make an opinion based on our own thought pattern? We're bringing you a message preached by one of the great speakers of our generation, Reverend Lee Stoneking. We hope that you enjoy the show and share your opinion at the end of the recording. And now let's take a listen.
1 Corinthians 11:15, the literal translation from the Greek, but a woman, if she wears her hair long, that means uncut, a glory to her it is, because the long hair or the uncut hair instead of a veil has been given her. It's not the long or the short of it. That's nonsense. Nonsense. Long has always meant uncut in the Bible. The word long comes from the Greek word. I checked with Marvin Treese and Dr. Hughes. We worked back and forth with this in the Greek. I've done my homework very well. The word long comes from the Greek word that means uncut. It's not the long or the short of it, because in some cultures, women's hair does not grow long. They would be disqualified from the promises of God if it were just long or short. It's uncut. It's uncut. There is something revelatory here. Lift your hands and pray that a revelation will grip you like never before. There is a revelation here that is one of the most glorious things that I've ever studied or endeavored to totally unravel and make clear to myself and to our people. Lift your voice and your hands and lift your voice out for just a moment. Jesus, I pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us, O Master of the universe, I pray, have revelation understanding that we will never be the same again. I ask it in the blessed and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:10 says, For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. The word ought in the Greek means to be indebted. The word power means authority rule. The word because means through, by, or with. Therefore, the woman is indebted or owes her authority on her head with the angels. The word power originally meaning ability to perform an act, the right, the authority, and the permission conferred by a higher court. For this cause, the woman is indebted or owes her power on her head, which she has through, by, or with the angels, which is conferred by a higher court. The word power, it's an inward power which is conferred by a higher court. For this cause, the woman is owing or indebted to the inward power which is conferred upon her by a higher court through with the angels. And the word power itself, this is the most exciting thing I have ever, ever studied about our truth and the Word of God that we know. The word power comes from the Greek word, I think it's pronounced ishousa, which means power to decide, reflects God's lordship, but as a divinely given authority to act, Yeshua implies freedom for the whole community. In other words, if a woman, if she wants to be free, she lets her hair grow uncut. If she wants to be bound, she does not let her hair grow. But if she allows her hair to grow long uncut in compliance with God's relationship to man, then the church community has a freedom in the spirit which does not exist without her compliance. In other words, what I'm saying is this. We preach about revival. We want revival. And we're praying for revival. But I've come here today as a man of God, a student of the Bible, to say to you, ladies, unless you comply with what God has written in His Word, we can never have the revival that we want to have without your help. Because there's something a woman can do that a man can never do. There is something that women can do that men cannot do. When you do not cut your hair, there is an authority, there is a power that speaks over the entire church. There is a depth of power and authority that we cannot have without you. We'll never have the revival that God wants us to have without the ladies in our churches complying and keeping the laws of God. I think every man here ought to stand and give our ladies a standing ovation for the part they play in the kingdom of God. You women are powerful. You are powerful, and you don't realize how powerful you are. It all has to do with your hair. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you hear all this argument. If any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom in the churches of God. So therefore they say, well, it's causing contention, throw it out. That has nothing to do with anything that's true. Because in biblical times, this was written to the Corinthians. The Corinthian women, those beautiful young maidens, came to the temples of Diana and all of those people and those gods, and they cut their long tresses off and threw it on altars of burning fire, and they dedicated or offered their long hair as a sacrifice to Diana. So when these women came into Christianity, they didn't know any different. They didn't know what they did the same thing for this Jesus, whoever he was. And Paul said, we have no such custom as they have among those heathens. You don't have to cut your hair, ladies. Instead, it's given to you for power. It's given to you for power with angels. And you can bring freedom to the church. You bring your freedom to the entire church. That's what he's writing about. We don't have these practices that the heathens have. We don't have these customs that the heathens have. Oh. Jesus. I really enjoy studying things like this. The boy, for example, gets his male identity from his mother, not his father. Her approval, her recognition, her affection develops his self-esteem, his identity that he is a male. A mother who really understands motherhood and her children, she can tell when that boy hits puberty and he'll begin to flirt. And she knows how to deal with him and to encourage him to hold on to that instinct that's rising in him. A boy gets his male identity from his mother. If the mother is rebellious in these matters of divine order, then she transmits her rebellion to her son, and the generation that he sires will be more rebellious than hers. That is why this thing is so scary. She may be subtle in her expression of it, but he will be bold. It will become his lifestyle. All you have to do is go into Roman history and see how the mothers of the Caesars manipulated their sons to become the most vile, corrupt specimens of humanity that has ever existed. From Claudius to Caligula to Julius Augustus Caesar to all of them. Also the pharaohs of Egypt, Whole volumes are written on this particular subject. From the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament by Kittle and published by Erdmans, note the following. In biblical times, when you entered Corinth, at the top of the hill was the Temple of Diana. The first sailor from the sea to the top of the hill was given free access to the whole of the harlot harems of Diana. The prostitutes in the temple all had short hair. It had been given as a sacrifice to the goddess Diana. In National Geographic magazine in June of 1972, on page 774, I found this article and cut it out. I found a picture of an altar whereupon women in biblical times sacrificed their hair. It was found in the city of Aphrodisias, located in southwest Turkey. The temple of Aphrodite towers behind its blazing altar. Women enter to sacrifice their hair in annual mourning for the death of Aphrodite's lover Adonis, a rite created and re-put together by the fragments from ancient accounts. The cutting of the hair is the statement of our women for women's rights. It's fielding to the church. It's a sign of rebellion. And it's sad. It's sad because I've watched this. I mean, I've been in this almost 45 years, and I've preached all over this country, out of this country. I've stayed in pastors' homes, and it's amazing, Brother Black. Sometimes there'll be a problem that will come up in the church. And I can tell the pastor he doesn't know what to do with it. He can't get it together. He can't find an answer to this problem. And he talks about it. He doesn't tell me the details, but he'll say enough that, you know, I can tell he wants me to pray. And then his wife is listening and all of this. And then after being there a week or so, all of a sudden, one morning at breakfast, the wife will just turn and she will just absolutely tell him exactly what he needs to do to solve it. Amazing. And I've looked at the pastor's face, and I can tell he must think, why didn't I think of that? But he didn't. You know why? Because the woman has power on her head because of the angels. Women walk in a realm when they do not cut their hair that is absolutely miraculous. If you ladies ever wake up to who you really are and what you have a hold of, it will transform your lives. It will transform your self-presentation. You will lift your head high and you will walk through the streets and you will understand, I am chosen by Him. I am anointed by God. I have the presence of angels in my life. But then on the other hand, let's go after the men for a moment. The Bible says men ought to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting and worship the Lord. Listen, if you men would do what you're supposed to do and you ladies do what you're supposed to do, we would tear this city to pieces. We would tear this city to pieces because there are things that men can do that women can't do. There are things that women can do that men can't do. And the thing that is exciting to me, this is the most exciting thing in my evangelistic work in the last couple of years. Let's be transparent for a moment. I've watched this for years. Basically speaking, it's the women who do everything. They give the message in the tongues. They give the interpretation. They run the aisles. They dance. They shout. The man stands back holding the child if he's got a child, or just stands if he doesn't have one. But the women are doing everything. But something has happened in the last couple of years. Men are becoming aggressive toward God. All over this country in America, men are becoming aggressive toward God. Men are putting their sons on their shoulders and dancing around the whole church. Men are getting in lines of four and five, kicking their legs. You think they're at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem? They're dancing and shouting and worshiping God. They're prophesying. They're giving tongues and interpretation. Something has happened in the Spirit. God is fixing, as they say in the South, to do some great thing in the earth. And He is reviving the church. He is breathing fresh breath, fresh strength, fresh anointing into the church. So men, I'm saying, do your thing. And I've watched the men here since I've been here. You men have got it together. Just keep shouting. Just keep dancing. Just keep worshiping. Why? Because when the sinners, when these kids come in off the street, street from single parent homes, and they see someone like you dancing and shouting, they say to themselves, there's got to be something due to this. If he's doing this, there's got to be something here. And you influence it, and they come, and they want to serve God. They want to have what you've got to hold on. Clap your hands again. Shout. Or maybe you want to run for a moment. I don't know what you want to do. It strengthens a family. Children know who. I passed it three times. I've watched this. It's amazing. It's astounding. Intriguing, actually. Children in a church, they know who live for God and who doesn't. Adults may go through the motions and fool each other, but you don't fool a child. They know who lives for God. And they can tell you. You see an old man sitting on the street corner, looks like a bum and everybody passing him by, but there are children playing at his feet. He's got a great heart. Children know. Your children must see it in you. You don't understand this, but you're a hero to someone. Someone's watching you. There's a young person somewhere. There's even an adult somewhere watching you. You are their hero. They will follow where you lead. We need to recognize the historical significance of hair. We need to investigate the associations involved with hair in human history. In doing so, we find that there was no issue at all for the first 5,900 years of recorded history. The widespread practice of women cutting their hair began in the United States in the Roaring Twenties, a decade defined by its spirit of frivolity, materialism, immorality, and rebellion. The world had survived World War I, but not without paying the price of great societal upheaval. During the 1920s, no national issue aroused United States citizens like that of cut or what they called bobbed hair. Marianne Spitzer wrote an article in the Saturday Evening Post in June of 1925. It was entitled, "The Erstwhile Crowning Glory." She wrote and said, quote, "There hasn't been a newspaper printed for the last 2 years that hasn't carried some sort of a little story about women's hair. It used to be a crowning glory, but now it's just hair." Anne Harding, in March of 1927, in the Ladies' Home Journal, wrote an article entitled, "Your Crowning Glory." In this article, she said, quote, "The most radical change in the costume of women in our times has been the change in hairstyles. Hair really is the crowning glory of a woman. Her hair still remains the most telling item of her appearance. And now short hair is considered chic. It is also the symbol of the freedom of women." Unquote. The number of hairdressing shops quadrupled in 4 years. Some department stores and hospitals discharged all their female employees with cut or bobbed hair. Many men divorced their wives. A Missouri court in 1926 awarded custody of 3 children to private homes with Christian influences because their mother had bobbed her hair. This is our own history. God brought judgment upon the United States for this decade of open rebellion and immorality on October 24, 1929, when the stock market crashed on Black Tuesday. A coincidence? Hardly. The angry decade of the 60s again brought rebellion against God with rioting, drug use, the hippie culture, unisex clothing, Eastern religions, atheism, rock and roll music, and free sex. Is it a coincidence that long hairstyles for men entered our culture during this period of time? Hardly. This hair revolution was started by the Beatles in the spring of 1964. According to one estimate, barbershops across America were forced to close at the rate of 100 a month as young men displayed their rebellion against the establishment through their shaggy, disheveled hair. It is noteworthy or worthy of note that nearly all subsequent rebellion in society has been identified with hairstyles. For example, the punk rockers, the skinheads, or clothing. It is clearly ridiculous to claim there is no association. I worked with hippies a lot in the 1960s when I got out of Bible school, early 70s. I did street work. We went house to house. We had street meetings. We had tent revivals. We did all kinds of things. And we won a lot of people. And I won. In fact, my kids turned the high school, Mount Pleasant High School, upside down in Schenectady, New York. They turned it upside down. It was amazing. Everybody knew who we were. One of those converts was a boy about, I suppose, 19, 20 at the time. And I won his whole family, prayed the whole family through the Holy Ghost, his mother, father, brothers, all of them. They got the Holy Ghost. But this young man, his name was Tommy, he was a nice-looking man, but he had long hair all the way down. When he got the Holy Ghost, this is what he said to me. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. He said, Brother Stone King, he said, I've been a hippie for several years. He said, I would never, ever have cut my hair because I knew my parents wanted me to. He said, but I was beginning to look for a reason to cut my hair. He said, and here's why. He said, any man, any young man that wears his hair long for a period of 2 years, at the end of that 2 year period, the spirit of homosexuality comes to him and the fight begins. He has to fight and decide, will he be straight or will he become gay? He said, it is the most wretched battle a young hippie fights. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, Brother Stone King, when you told me what you told me about hair, he said, I found the reason I could cut it for Jesus. He's a pastor preaching the gospel. When you change the laws of God, you are headed for disaster and destruction. These that are rising up now wanting to change this and change that and do away with pulpits and sit on the sideline and not really preach against sin, that, you know, your God is what you think he is. That's creeping into some of our ranks among some of our younger preachers right now. That is demonic. It comes from the very gates and depths of hell. And they will all end in terrible disaster. It's only a matter of time. This is some of the historical significance of hair. But let's talk about the spiritual significance of hair. If only Christians knew what witches and New Agers know. We don't seem to get the message, but they know things. And they teach it, and you must adhere to it if you become one of them. They know that there is power on the head because of what we do with our hair. What God meant for good, the devil wants to use for evil. The Encyclopedia of Superstition, Folklore, and the Occult Sciences of the World, page 282, says, quote, women's hair is a most precious amulet and wards off a great many evils and diseases, unquote. The Power of Magic Secrets and Mysteries, Ancient and Modern, page 74, quote, hair has always been considered strong magic. Witches casting an evil spell needed a piece of hair from their victim to make it truly efficacious, unquote. The Women's Dictionary of Symbols and Sacred Objects, page 313, says, quote, women's hair carried heavy symbolic and spiritual significance in Oriental religions. Tantric sages proclaimed that the binding or unbinding of women's hair could control cosmic powers of creation and destruction, unquote. The Dawning International Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary, page 269, says, quote, hair has physical powers that act as a protection from evil entities of the etheric world. Cutting of the hair was done in a ritual to discontinue this protection. It is symbolic of strength. It contributes to one's personality and is a mark of identification. To shave one's head is to remove one's self-image so one can begin a new self-image. The Encyclopedia on Witches and Witchcraft, page 149, says, quote, this is from witchcraft I'm reading you, quote, a witch's magical power is bound in her hair. By shaking her hair in the wind, the power of a spell is doubled, unquote. I thought, I wonder what would happen if our women went out in the wind and took the pins out and let their hair down and just shook it. If witches can cast spells, what could we do? What could our women do with power on their heads because of the angels? If witchcraft understands this, we as the children of God, having the Word of God, people, if you never preach another word, Brother Black, there's enough excitement in all of this. Just remember, you ought to come through the doors, running the aisles, shouting and dancing, laying hands on each other, because you've got a power unlike anything that exists in the entire world. Clap your hands again. Hallelujah. The Encyclopedia of Occultism and Parapsychology, page 572, says, quote, hair has had an occult significance since ancient times. It has been regarded as a source of strength. The association of hair with sexual features of the body has given it remarkable force, and distinctions between male and female hair have emphasized sexual attraction. The unisex fashions of the permissive society and rock groups have tended to create sexual confusion and neurotic behavior, unquote. Think of the classic image of a witch. It's a woman with long, scraggly, uncut hair. Why? Because the evil side of the supernatural realm knows there is power associated with hair. I was in Fiji preaching for the Carvers several years ago. We had an incredible move of God. There were hundreds that got the Holy Ghost. There were people that walked out waving crutches. God just marvelously moved. But in talking with Brother and Sister Carver, wonderful people of God, tremendous Christians, powerful, real apostles, they've done incredible work in the earth. Papua New Guinea, Fiji, and they're now back in Australia, going back and forth. But he told me, he said, Brother Stone King, when we came here and started this work in Fiji, our women did not cut their hair. It became such an attraction to the Fijian women in the whole nation. He said, Brother Stone King, when we explained to the Fijians why our women did not cut their hair, he said, Brother Stone King, the entire nation of women in Fiji stopped cutting their hair. Just because of the influence of a missionary, his wife, and his saints. There was a woman, she stood and testified because of the times one year, their boy had been in a car accident, not expected to live. She'd heard my teaching on uncut hair. She went to God and she got down on her knees and she cried and prayed. He was not going to live. There was no hope. She let her hair down. She said, God, I have never cut my hair. She said, there's power on my head because of the angels. Raise my boy up. Within 2 days, that son was released from the hospital, back in church. My mother, I won my mother to God. My mother was in the church within 6 months after I got the Holy Ghost. My mother had a heart condition, and it was where there was pain in the left arm. And I went home one weekend from my work in Des Moines and to spend time with my mom and dad on the farm. And my mom wanted to talk to me, and she started crying. She said, honey, she said, I cannot belong to this Pentecostal church, she said, because I can't let my hair grow long. She said, I can't keep my arm up to fix a hairstyle. I can't. The pain is too great. I'm only just a new convert. I stood and I said, Mom, listen to me. If you will not cut your hair, God will heal you your arm and give you a hairstyle that's very becoming to you. My mother believed that she did it, and it happened exactly as I said. God healed her arm and gave her a hairstyle. She was a saint of God. I've got a feeling I'm talking to someone here that can relate to all of this. In Brother Nix's church in Ypsilanti, Michigan, there was a teenage girl in their youth group. She was going to lose her sight. There was something wrong with the retina, something in the back of the eyes, both of them. And the doctors told her, you will lose your sight. They said, the thing you need to do is cut your long hair because the weight of it, you need to cut it if you're going to try to retain your sight. And the girl absolutely would not cut her hair. She said, no, I will not cut my hair. She would not cut her hair. Time came and went. In the end result, her eyes were totally healed. When they did the research on it, they found out that the weight of her hair pulled the nerves in the back of the eyes and straightened them and caused the eyes to totally heal. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Steve Richardson, famous among us as a songwriter, wrote Daystar. He also wrote the song, Just to Walk with Him Means More Than All This World to Me. His mother and father were wonderful Christians. His mother was just, she looked like an angel. She did. She was just a precious person. Beautiful long hair. She, you know how the women used to do the finger waves on the side of the head, and she had all of that. She was just stately, but she never cut her hair. Steve told me that he was driving around the circuitous routeway there around Indianapolis one day, and suddenly he was passing a truck, and ahead of him there was a car coming head on to hit him, head on, in a head on collision. He said, Brother Stone King, all I could do was lift my hands and cry Jesus. He said, Jesus! And when he did, when he came to, so to speak, his car was ahead of the truck, and the car that had hit the truck that was going to hit him, his car was ahead of the collision, sitting on the side of the road. He said the truck, I looked in the rearview mirror, the truck driver jumped out of the truck, ran to my car. I said, I rolled down the window, and the truck driver said, I have never seen anything like this in all of my life. He said, something picked your car up, carried it through the air, and set it down on the side of the road. It's because there really is power on our women's heads because of the angels. Only eternity is going to reveal how many times your husband was saved from a serious car accident on the way to work, or a child was pulled back by an angel that a car was about ready to strike. You have no idea what you've got going for you. We have no idea what is working because of the ways of the Lord. I remember Brother Butcher told this when I first came in the church. There was a woman walking along, or man, I forget now, walking along on the sidewalk, and there was houses here. There was a window upstairs open. There was a little boy climbed out on that window ledge. There was no screen on the window. And she just cried out, Jesus! The child fell. And when she opened her eyes and looked, there was a man standing who had caught the child. I don't know about you, but this is the most exciting way to live in the entire world. There's an angel that travels with me everywhere I go. That's why I'm not afraid to travel. He steps on that jet every time I get on. I put out my spiritual radar on the way to the airport. I can feel him. He's waiting for me. I'm not afraid. In fact, I was on one flight. The thing hit an air pocket. The plane dropped about 15 feet. And I'm in first class, upgraded through miles. I've got a lot of them. And I threw my hands in the air and said, Jesus! And the plane caught. I realized what I'd done. I looked across the aisle. There was a man seated there. He just smiled from ear to ear. He was very glad to have this Jesus fanatic on the flight. See, I am a Jesus fanatic. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a Jesus fanatic. Now you know what's wrong with us. I close with this. Brother Gary Gleason, he is the superintendent of the District of Oregon. He was a young teenager when I was in Bible college. His father was one of my instructors. His father was a wonderful Christian. He told me this story. In his church, there was a young woman whose name was Cindy Weston. She was converted, wonderfully converted, lived for God. She was the only person in her family that was saved. Her family mocked her, made fun of her because she no longer wore makeup and she no longer cut her hair. They made fun of her all the time, ridiculed her. She withstood this for years. One day there came a call on Saturday morning from her mother. And her mother said, your father is in the hospital. The vital organs are shutting down. If you ever want to see him alive again, you need to come right away. She dropped everything, went to the airport. She flew to Phoenix, Arizona. When she arrived, she went straight to the hospital about 9 p.m. that night. She knew her father's room. She'd got it from the nurses. She went straight into the hospital room, and all her siblings and mother were there. They never said anything. She went straight to the bedside of her father. She knelt down. She reached up and she pulled the pins out of her hair. Her hair fell down long. She leaned forward and spread her long hair over her dying father's body. And she said, Lord Jesus, I've never cut my hair. There is power on my head because of the angels. Raise my father up and give him a chance to be saved. He walked out of the hospital 2 days later. Power. Power. And this is the last account I want to share with you. What a wonderful people you are. What an unusual people you are. What a strange people you are by worldly standards. But by the standards of God, we are the children of God. Last year, Sister Nathaniel Haney's wife in Stockton, California. Nathaniel's father is now the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. But Nathaniel, his son, pastors the church. I've known Nathaniel since he was very young. He's fasted and fasted till he's almost destroyed his health. But in the 6 years that his father has been the general superintendent of this organization, they have prayed 5,000 people through to the Holy Ghost in Stockton, California. And they have anchored on the pews 1,364 discipled living for God. That's unheard of in America. But it's happening in America. I want it to happen here. I want it to happen here among you in this place. Why not? You've got the power. You've got the power. It had a prayer chain going all of this year. I talked to Nathaniel recently. He said, Brother Stone King, I've kept track of the hours that my people have come to the church and prayed. He said, we now have prayed 25,000 hours as a church. He said, my people take fast days once a week. He said, we now have prayed enough days. We have prayed 6 years as a church. You're not going to buy any kind of a program from the PPH that's going to give you revival or tell you how to have it. It's the same old grind, fasting and prayer. But he told me a story. I cried. They're having miracles of healing unlike anything I've ever heard. Brother Black, I've never heard anything like this. They have a Mexican man in the church. Great saint, lives for God, his family. This man works in a place where he pushes huge chunks of asphalt into these flying knives that pulverize it. It comes out like sand on the other side. The chain broke, and the chain cut him and pulled him into those knives. It takes 16 seconds to go through it. He should have come out on the other side, a pile of hamburger. The only thing that happened to him, he had a broken leg and a broken arm. No cuts. Flesh not chopped up. And the paramedics came. They just screamed. They said, what happened? That there were several people that stood up. They didn't even breathe. They couldn't move. They said he went through the knives. The paramedics said, it's impossible. They said, we saw it. But during the time this happened, his wife and his mother were praying their hour of prayer in the prayer chain at the church. He said, Brother Strong King, evidently what God did for those 16 seconds, he gave him a glorified body and he just passed through the knives like Jesus passed through the wall. They've got miracle after miracle, things I never heard about. I don't know about you, I want to be a part of that. I want to be involved with that. Last year, Sister Kim Haney asked me if I would preach their women's conference. There were 7,000 women there, superintendents, wives, people from Canada, women from all over this country. They came to this conference. I did a session something like this one. At the end, the power of God moved, and I went down and began to pray among these people and these women that were here. And there was a move of God. I mean, things were happening. But Kim Haney, Nathaniel's wife, she walked up to me. She said, Brother Strong, I want to do something. I said, Kim, look. She said, I want every woman, I feel to do this. She said, I want every woman here who has never, ever cut their hair, no matter how long you live for the matter, how long you stay here, how short or how long. If you never cut your hair, I want you to come forward. I was astonished. I didn't believe some women just thinking it was all too new to the press who had never, ever cut their hair. And the doctor, she said, my turn face the rest of the time. And the way I stuck in it, I just stood it off. I could feel it a little bit. And just thinking, miraculous that something happened. She said, I feel like to take my head down. And so she was going to get pulled between them. And the head fell down all the way down the other way. But when it fell down, she said, I want all the rest of you guys to do.
message by Brother Lee Stoneking. Well, Blog Talk Mom?
Right.
We didn't hear you, or your mic wasn't on.
Oh. Well, now, am I on the air?
You are.
All right. Good to hear y'all, and I appreciate Brother Stoneking is probably my favorite of all preachers, and his testimony is just unbelievable with besides his preaching, but, you know, he was pronounced dead, and I think he was in an airport traveling, and maybe in another country. I don't remember the whole details about it, but he was literally dead, and God raised him from the dead. It's a tremendous testimony. You can get it on, I think, his website, Lee Stoneking,
mm-hmm.
or YouTube has, sometimes you can go on Brother Mangan's meetings because of the times and hear his testimony. It's just, he has such a vibrant way of saying something, and he gets so excited himself. It's very, very good, very inspirational. Well, this is a good subject. A lot of people have so many different opinions and viewpoints about, especially about not cutting your hair. And I think if for no other reason you'd go to heaven because it's such a trial.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't funny.
Well, I'm here to tell you it is a trial. The trial from the people in the world that they don't understand, and your own family, you know, will come against you because they don't understand the power of the hair. And
right. That is so true. The Bible actually says that we have power with the angels because of our uncut hair, and I believe it's an obedience issue. I have some very strong opinions that I won't mention that might be controversial with people, but I do believe obedience is it is the center and circumference of our walk with God. It started in disobedience when Adam and Eve left the garden in a perfect situation, and we will be obedient or we will not be saved. And obedience requires us to, as Brother Stoneking mentioned, to take the pattern, which is the Word of God. And I know everybody interprets the Word of God according to either their background or their own ideas a lot of times, but the uncut hair does have, you can, when it says rightly divide the word of truth, there is power in not in well being obedient, but the Lord absolutely said with the angels, and we've just heard too many, many miracles that were connected with the Pentecostal women and their uncut hair. And like he said, it doesn't mean long hair because some people don't have long hair. It just means the obedience of not cutting your hair. And usually that will give you long hair. The majority of women would have long hair. And I was a hairdresser for years, and there is a connection, an extreme connection with pride and a woman's hair. And even though I don't cut my hair, I still have that pride. I don't like, usually my hair is combed early in the morning. You know, I don't run around with it down at all. But about every 5 or 6 months, I'll have either a headache or something will come up that I don't put my hair up, and I look a little bit like Einstein on a really bad hair day. I am really ugly. And you can believe people will come by that I haven't seen. They don't call first. They just appear at the door. But I get even with them. After they look at me, they think, I'll call next time. It's sort of funny. This young man came by. This just happened this week. It's why it's on my mind. And he said, your hair. I said, yeah. How about that? He didn't look so good either. Anybody wants to know?
Well, we have Wild Bill with us. Wild Bill?
Well, hello. I'm sorry that message kind of messed up there at the end. I tell you, I've had trials with shows before of getting the thing to actually upload, and this was one of those that was just unreal how my computer would argue and talk to me. It did not want to do this show, but I was thinking how there's so many things in God's Word that, you know, we want to put a twist on it. And I was thinking, you know, that some things we need to just take for what God's saying. And and to give you an example, you know, when they were out in the wilderness and the snakes came out, you know, there's all kinds of things that God could have done, but he had them put up this little thing on a pole to look at whenever they were bitten by a snake, and they were healed. They didn't die. And you think of all the things that God could have done, but you look at the situation between men and women, and we always make all these jokes. We had a show not long ago about the difference in the languages of the men and women, how it's funny when you really take a look at some of the things that transpires. But there's a reason that God set things in place like he did. It's not for us to second guess. It's not for us to take time. Of all the things in the world, why would you take blood to wash away black sin? And why would God have to robe himself in flesh to die to save us from our sin? The practicality of the things of God are not practical to us, but they're practical to God. And when he says that a woman's hair is her glory, and you understand what glory means, then you understand that the angels, that they have certain powers that God has given them. And he lets you know that the angels are there. There's power on a woman's hair. And it's one of those things that women should take some pride. They should understand, because it's the little story of Brother Shield used to tell about the man that went on the cruise ship and how he sat in his room and he was eating beanie weenies and he had his potted meat and Vienna sausage. And the last day of the cruise that he had saved for years and years, he was invited to sit at the captain's table. And he's like, well, I can't afford to do that. And I'm like, no. All your meals was included in the price of the ticket. And he had been seeing all these people with all the smells and aromas that was coming out of the dining area. And here he is eating his potted meat and beanie weenies. And I think that the people of God are eating too many beanie weenies and potted meat, and they're not standing up and taking advantage of the things that God's given us. It's so easy to take the things that he was bringing up there and try to put man's philosophy to us. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you know, it was a coincidence, you know, that his wife was there and those things happened. And, you know, the angels, you know, God can send angels to be with us at any time, no matter what. But when you think about that, there's certain things that are automatic that God has put in place. There's a cost to it. There's an accountability. But when people line up to God's word, well, for one thing, it's very clear it's rebellion when you don't. Our whole society changed to be rebellious. And when he brought that out, it just goes to speak of, even, you know, I remember when my wife first started changing her style of clothes, and then just as a joke one time, she was pulling out some of her other clothes, and what was it Jared said? That's not natural, that's not right,
that's
or what
not,
did he say?
That's not normal.
That's not normal, that's what he said. And I think when it comes to the things of God sometimes, that we forgot what it means to be not normal. We forgot what it means to be blessed, to be God's chosen people, to be the one that he said, I'm here with you if you want to be with me. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to pick the brightest and the prettiest and the best and those that have more opportunity to give more for my kingdom. He said, I choose all of you, whosoever will. And I think it is a time that if the people of God would quit nitpicking on little things and accept some things for what they are, God said it's this way, say, yes, Lord. God says it's this, say amen, you know, thank you, Lord, and accept those things and start applying them into our life. I think there's going to be some time. Well, I believe with all of my heart that we're at the end of end time here, and we're going to see a latter rain like we have never seen before in our churches. We're going to see revivals like we've never seen in our churches. But the other side of that is, and I like what you said about the church that prayed, there's a spiritual warfare that's taking place. The Satan is aware of all the things that we're aware of. He's not ignorant to any of these things, other than the fact he still thinks he's going to win. You know, poor little devil, he ain't got that part down pat yet. He's going to find out. But, you know, right now he thinks, you know, I'm going to twist this somehow at the very end and I'm going to win. But other than that, he knows that if a church prays and they fast and they take on the spiritual warfare of the things in their church, that no matter what he does, he cannot overcome that. The praying church is going to bring down a covering of angels. When you visualize that in your mind, when you pray a covering, you're praying for a covering of God's angels to come down and keep the demonic spirits away to protect. And when you, I feel like I'm just harping on this thing here, but this message, I tell you, it touched me in ways that, and I'm not even a woman, I ain't got no hair. So Sunday school this last week, the Sunday school teacher got up and said he was thinking about me and started singing that little song, I Can't Find My Hairbrush. And I thought, well, that's not really what I wanted to hear in Sunday school this morning. But so I really don't have a lot to say on this hair thing. But I do believe that there is a power to not just obedience, but there is a power that God set in place when it comes to a woman's hair, that it's time for us to acknowledge and accept those things and realize this is part of the process of the ticket. It's not something extra. It's not something like, I got to pay extra for this or something here. It's part of living for God. So I didn't mean to drown you guys out. I was really enjoying your little humor there, Mom. But did you have anything else on that with what you're feeling on this? And, you know, I know there's so many people have so many different viewpoints on this.
They do, and well, technically, I agree with you 100% that it is scripture, and it's not open for debate. But in each individual woman's life, it is a tremendous issue that women deal with, because it is a hardship. It is a tremendous hardship at times to deal with. I know, like Sister Kaiser's hair, her hair, I think it's almost down to her ankles. And then when she was younger, her mother, I think she had 5 or 6 daughters, and that all that hair, you know, to get up and get to church, and I think Sister Kaiser said she would have to sit on the porch, let her hair hang down off the porch for her mother to comb it. And then there are those cases where head lice does come into the community, and it's a little bit different when you got 8 feet of hair than someone that doesn't. You know, I mean, there are some tremendous hardships that are connected with not in the natural. But that's not the point. If God's word tells us not to cut our hair, just like with Samson, it's different in that sense. But he had lied, he had done all kinds of sin, but it was at the point that he allowed this lady to cut his hair that the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And that could be, you know, one of the connections that gives you. It gave me insight. I'm not saying that is scripturally sound as a type or a shadow, but for me, it let me know that God is very, very nitpicky about the things that He says. No pun intended on the nitpicky thing. I don't know why. I guess I'm in a good mood tonight, but I think that I appreciate you so much, both of you, for taking your time working and putting the program together. I enjoy it so much.
Well, we appreciate you being a part of this. And I just, you know, I want to encourage people, you know, it doesn't matter what any preacher says. And I understand, you know, the hardships that go along with things like this. But when you look at the blessing that goes with it, to understand, I mean, this is angels. You know, now, I don't know, what would you spend in money to be able to have angels with you because of power in your head? You know, what would be the investment? What would it be worth to you? You know, would you pay an extra $1,000 a month? Or, you know, what would it mean to know that maybe there's times that your children are out and they're not living for God, and maybe the situation I was in where I had this car, it was souped up and big old wide tires in the back lot they used to have back in the 70s and 80s, and that thing would hydroplane every time there was a heavy dew and come around a sharp corner running about 35 miles an hour over the speed limit. And all of a sudden, and I wasn't thinking anything about God, all of a sudden feeling God's presence in the car with me, feeling like I needed to let off the gas and slow down. and hit my brakes and didn't hydroplane or turn around on what was a major storm, and actually was able to witness a motorcycle that couldn't stop where a trailer had jackknifed on the blind side of that curve, and the guy was decapitated. I believe that that has to do with people that are obedient to God, where God says, I'm watching over your children. You know, my promises are sure. You know, it's not a iffy thing when it comes to living for God. And it's not a 100% because you're living for God that nothing ever bad is going to happen in your life. But there's no telling how many times that things could have been a lot worse if it hadn't been for people living for God and being obedient, where they actually stood in the gap for their children and didn't even realize that they were doing it. You know, maybe it wasn't even stirred in their own spirit. Maybe it was just doing business as usual. But because they were living for God and because they had prayed many times for their children, that God's angels were there to move in. You know, there's a lot of things that we can't explain, but I feel that we need to start taking God's word as absolute. You know, my mom, when I used to say, well, why? Her answer was, because I said so. And I think sometimes we need to get, you know, instead of saying, why, Lord, just know it's because he said so.
That's right.
You know, he's not just sovereign. He is the Almighty God, and he's promised all these things to work for our good. And some of this I can't figure out sometimes. I'll be the first to admit. And Mom used to have made that Einstein picture that sticks in my head there. I don't know why. But, you know, there's things like that that we don't understand. But, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And if God says it's beauty to him, then that's, you know, I'm sorry, Mom, I just can't get that Einstein thing. You should have never said that. That was wrong.
It was very adequate as far as the description. But that was back about the thing with Samson and the Nazarite vow. What happened when he cut his hair, he didn't die immediately, but it led to him being in bondage. It led to him eventually his eyes being burned out. And I connect that with disobedience of any kind. When the closer we are to obedience, the more power we have with God, the more protection we have as far as not being led into other things. And I think that has been one of the greatest blessings about not cutting my hair. I feel like it put me in a place of submission that made me feel that, because I, you know, there is temptation continually, but I put myself in a place of submission and obedience, and it has kept me. It has been a force and a power that has kept me from accepting the wrong thing, going the wrong direction. And I know for a fact that at the point that I began to obey the Lord in that area, that there was a stabilizing force that I could feel that was just in my spiritual eyes were opened to things. So there's a lot to the spiritual laws and commandments of God. Or you know, there's spiritual applications that we probably we'll never really fully comprehend. So we just obey. We don't, like you said, we don't understand it. But we do understand that we are to obey. And, of course, there's those that look at the same scriptures and say that's not what the Word of God is saying. And that's, they don't think they're disobeying. They just don't think that's what the Word of God is saying. But Brother Stone King brought that out, I thought, in a great way. And I could feel the Spirit of the Lord when you were talking, Wild Bill,
I wish we could have got that at the end where he was talking about where that sister felt led to go up. And what they did was they had everyone that was in that church that had never, ever cut their hair come up on the platform and let their hair down. And they said that when they started waving their hair and praising God, that you could see the glory of God sweeping through that place. And people were healed. People were receiving the Holy Ghost. People just had been rebellious, running from things of God for years, were just falling out in the altars because there was a power that took place because those women obeyed God in what they, you know, the commitment they made. And I like the illustration to the Nazarite vow because it is a very personal thing between a woman and her God. And when you realize that, that this is not between me and the family that's not in church that's going to put me down, or people in the world that's going to look at me and judge me for this and everything. This is between me and my God. And this is what he established to be between me and him as a blessing for me. And with all the things, you know, it's like the thing about none of us want to pray for patience because we know what it takes to work patience. But then when you get to reading on, it talks about how patience adds to other things in our life the more patience we have. And we have a tendency to want to look at the negative of things sometimes of God's word and living for God because we get to understanding those after a while. You know, many times I'll probably say on the show, you know, we're made overcomers by the word of our testimony. Yeah, because whatever you testify to, that's what you're going to live. What a preacher preaches, that's what's going to be his next trial that comes along in his life. You know, you definitely need to have a prayer covering, you know, over you when you speak those things. But that's not the right aspect to look at it. When you look at it, that's like a cruise missile that God has given us to come up here and blast Satan upside his head. Because we're made overcomers by the word of our testimony. When we understand it's the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb is two powerful weapons we have against Satan, it changes the whole aspect of things. It's just so easy to look at the cost and not look at what you're getting for the cost sometimes. And I know in myself that it's so easy to want to get in that mindset. You know, and I'm wanting to change to where I'm looking more for the blessing, to realize the blessing is so much greater than the cost. Hell, forever, I mean, what would you pay to be able to stay away from that? You know, what would be a cost that you would find acceptable? Is there anything that you wouldn't give to be able to stay away from that? And when you get to put it in that perspective, there's only two choices. You know, it's not like I think I'll take, you know, I don't want A or B, I'll take column C. There is no column C. You know, we get to realizing that there is an accountability. This world does not want to have accountability for anything. Our politicians don't want to have accountability. They just kind of do their own thing and play their own game, and they don't care about the people anymore. And a lot of the things that people feel like a lot of the churches don't care, it's all about bringing in money and having a mega church and, you know, it's not about the people that are there anymore. It does my heart good to hear of people that it's important to stand on the promises of God and to understand there's an accountability. There's got to be a prayer covering to go down. There's got to be some fasting that take place. It's going to take some people that's going to line up to the mark of what God said without any excuses, without any trying to say, well, you know, I can reason this out. I'm a person, my mind works just a little bit here, and I can reason out that doesn't make practical sense, so I'm not going to do that. When you get people to say, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to subject myself to God 100% in my relationship with him, and I'm going to look for everything that I can find where I can be what he wants me to be in a position where he can bless me in the way he wants to bless me. When you see people getting more of that mindset, we're going to see more power going through our churches and through people's lives than we've ever seen before. And I really believe that that's happening. I believe that God is opening people's eyes to don't look at the negative so much. Yeah, there's some cost, but is it worth it? What are you getting in return? And when you get to stopping and thinking about it that way, you realize that there is no cost that's not of value. I mean, you'd give it all if you had to. And the things that God asks us is not that much when you stop and really take a look at what it is. So I kind of going off here again, but I think I interrupted your blog time. Mom, do you have anything you want to end the show with?
No, that was very good. I was listening to what you were saying because you're bringing it to a good closure on the subject and putting it in the right perspective. So to all those that would be listening, to really look at the benefits and I personally have felt in my heart that God, when he puts a restriction there, that's him giving us the best advice for us to be an overcomer. And I think 9 times in the book of Revelation, the gift, the everything, the promise is to he that overcometh. And I was being humorous about it, but there, if nothing else, dealing with hair can definitely give you something to overcome as far as in the natural. But if we look at it like you just said, that what we get for that, even if it's just in teaching us a spirit of patience, a spirit of appreciation, a spirit of obedience, the spirit of being willing, even though we may not fully understand the, or comprehend what it is, but be willing to do it. Because if he says, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you know, what profit is there in that? So for this one thing, if we can have power with the angels, of course, you've already said this. I don't mean to just repeat.
No, go ahead, please.
But that's well worth the effort. Any effort that we're going to do, it's well worth it. And I have also heard testimonies of where the Spirit of God, one lady was told her child had, I don't know if it was an accident. I really don't remember what happened, but it was very, very serious. And the Lord spoke to her to take her hair down and place her hair over the child and begin to pray. And God moved, and the child was healed. And, you know, that and again, could be obedience. I don't necessarily believe that there's any particular thing in the hair in that situation. I believe it's the power of obedience. If I was in a church service and the Lord spoke to me to run or to go forward or to wave my hands, when I obey, God's going to move. And so the hair, you know, that, because I almost feel like we can almost make it into something a little bit magical. And I believe in the supernatural, but I believe you cross over into the magical if you just give the hair itself.
Yeah, if you just went up there and thought you could just go around waving your hair over people and everything would be okay, I agree with that. I think what happened there was is that, you know, we're talking about two or three coming together, one mind and one accord, any two or three. I think the power of what those women did and obedience that was displayed before there pleased God so much that was why that there was such a move of God in that church and things that happened like that. And I do think that sometimes, like in that situation with that young girl with her dad, where she'd been ridiculed for years, and all of a sudden, you know, God, you know, spoke to her heart today. I'm sure that wasn't something you just automatically would think to do, you know, and you know, for God to speak that there, you know, God is still sorry. He, you know, it ain't like all of a sudden you got this little magic, you know, thing here that you can go and do.
Right.
But there again, when you understand that you automatically, it's not like you have to wait for the angels to get there. You know, the Bible talks about where God tried to send messages out to people and Satan has put up barriers where it was withheld. You know, it was delayed. You know, when you got angels already there, that's a big head start. You know, it ain't like all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, what am I going to do? When you holler Jesus and the angels are already there. You know, which I think we sort of have angels around anyway, but it makes it clear that women have that power because of their hair. We don't actually probably understand exactly what that means even now as we're talking about it.
Right.
And but to understand that, again, it's because he said so. It's not because I said so or some preachers, you know, said, you know, you don't have to do that, or some preachers said, yes, you do, or then you don't have to agree with everything Brother Stone King said. There again, it's that thing where you have to look at what do you want to have in your life with God. You know, when a woman wants to please her husband and he likes a certain hairstyle, then, you know, a woman does that. Well, there again, you know, you're wanting to please God, not just because of the promise he's given you, but, you know, it's just, and especially I think women probably think about this more than men do, the love aspect of a relationship with God in that capacity. I think that's one of the reasons that women move through the thing spiritually in a church more than men do, is because it's a part of it's a little bit more natural for them to understand that concept of pleasing someone, you know, being under submission to someone. Although I think a lot of husbands would argue that their wives probably are not really under submission to them too, and I'm getting silly now too. So, but there again, it's not something that I can say or Blog Talk Mom can say or Starla that's going to really, you know, nail this down for you. It's one of those things that you can read that scripture and you can pray before God and you say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to do this in obedience to what I read right here to you. And I'm going to have faith to believe that this is going to put power into my life and the angels are going to be here. And I'm accepting that because I have lost loved ones and I have needs in my life and I'm still striving to be an overcomer daily. And when you just stand up on it that way, you know, Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. And when you stop and think, like I said earlier, the price that was paid for our salvation, I look at men today in this time and I'm like, I don't know how God didn't just want to say, okay, I'm repenting over that part about the flood and just open up the floodgates and, you know, wash this all away again and start all over. But in his mercy, he's not. But with that said, there is a day coming to when he's going to no longer have his spirit here with man. It's not going to dwell here with man. He's going to call away his bride. And at that point, it's going to be a little late to be sitting here saying, what was that they said on that Blog Talk Radio? What were they talking about, that personal relationship thing? You know, if there was ever a time that people needed to think about getting that in their life, you talk about being scared about the economy. Eternity is forever. You know, somehow or another, people make it through all kinds of trials and tribulations in the economy. But eternity in hell, that's not one of those things that anyone should ever think about playing with. Charlotte, we've kind of cut you out there. Do you have anything?
No, I think you guys are doing really good.
Well, we kind of think we've done ran over, but I had it booked extra so we could do that. And I want to apologize again for that not all playing. Like I say, that thing it was doing at the end, the whole entire show wanted to do that every time I tried to upload. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen in my life. So, but anyway, I want to thank all you guys for being with us. And Lord willing, we'll be back with you next Tuesday, and we hope you come back and join us again. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.